Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris and welcome to the HMO Experience. This is episode 11 and we are going to be covering off property onboarding and setup. As you can see, it's only the two amigos today.
Two amigos.
Jamie has gone off to do some very important client-facing work. So Steve and I are going to be presenting this episode. So let me introduce you to Steve. Say hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Nice. So let's kick this off. In the last three episodes, we've covered off viewings, offer and negotiation, and then the last one we covered off the power team. However, once you've got your offer accepted, what we're going to talk about now is obviously getting making sure you've got the legal structure in place and then getting the property to a point where you're ready to furnish it. So that being said, Steve, do you want to kick us off with what you generally tend to do once your offer has been accepted on a property?
Yeah.
For rent to rent.
For rent to rent. Cool. Okay. So the first thing for us is to focus on the legal side of the arrangement. So we've obviously done our deal analysis. We know the deal works. We've had our offer accepted. It's now formalizing that arrangement with the landlord and the agent. So we favour a management contract. I know that other people prefer lease arrangements. That's entirely up to them. And I think we talked about that in one of the beginning episodes of the HMO Experience. So we favour a management contract, and we are checking things like who is the actual owner of the property.
Sure.
So what we do is we go onto land registry, we put in the address, we download the title deeds, and we make sure that the contracting party that we are entering into is the same that is listed on land registry.
Sure.
So what we don't want to be is in a position whereby we've got a contract with a third party who doesn't own the property, which can get you into
alarm bells.
Yeah, exactly. So we always make sure, and our contract goes down to the detail of who the person is, the title deeds reference on the property, so that if we have to go to court for any reason whatsoever, that title deed reference is the thing that joins the actual property to the owner, to our contract. So we're covered off, and there's no ambiguity about what property we're talking about. So once we've got the contract all lined up, and that's gone off to the either the vendor directly, or the landlord directly, or the letting agent, because when we sign our contracts, it's and the properties come via a letting agent. It's a what we call a tripartite agreement. So there's we're signing, the property owner is signing, and the letting agent is signing. And that makes it fair and equitable, and everybody understands what's going on. There's no suggestions of sub-letting, which I know is a big thing in our world, and trying to convince agents that we're not subletting. Well, this is how we go about it. So once all the legal stuff is done, we then start to focus on the compliance bit. And the compliance bit for us is around making sure that the HMO actually has a license. It's a licensed HMO. Or if it's not currently licensed, then we start the process to get the property license. We make sure that there's a valid gas safety certificate on there. We make sure that there is a valid fixed wiring test certificate. If you're inheriting electrical appliances, it needs to be pack tested. So you need to make sure you've got the relevant documentation for that. And then once we've done all of our compliance checks, then we start to get under the skin of the property, like we talked about on previous episodes, whereby we are we have 108 things that we look for, and we have a checklist. So again, the benefit of having a checklist means that anyone can do that. Well, when I say anyone, not anyone, but someone who's be trained to do that. And we're checking things like electric sockets to make sure they all work.
Yeah.
We're checking to make sure that all the appliances work. So we actually put the washing machine on, we put the tumble dryer on, the dishwasher on, anything that's in there, we actually test it. I've known some people who haven't done this, and the first time a customer comes to put their washing on, suddenly there's a big leak, which again is not ideal from your new customers coming into your new property. So testing all of the appliances, which might seem like a mundane thing, I think is quite a crucial, because it's better to spot these things early and get the landlord to rectify than having to do that yourself. So
For sure.
Once we've got that in place and all of the checks are done, and I think we're attaching a copy of our 108.
We are indeed. Link's going to be in the show description.
So you can download that. It's then we focus back into our administration setup. So we use a system called Arthur, and we thoroughly recommend Arthur. There are other systems out there, but we recommend Arthur. Arthur Online, that is.
Yeah.
So we start to set up the property on the system, and we are putting in details such as what is the serial number for the washing machine? What is the serial number for the tumble dryer? And the reason we do that and have that on file is that if there's a problem, then we can simply go onto our online app, get the serial number, give that to our domestic appliance engineer. He can put that into his system and he can order the part and go and fit it at the same time. So all of these little bits of information is quite crucial. We go down to the level of knowing what type of light bulbs are in each room. So that if we get a customer who rings in and says the light bulbs are out in the lounge, it means that we can go to the store, pick out the appropriate light bulb, go and get it fitted, as opposed to going to the property, finding out what light bulb it is, going to the store, picking up the light bulb, having to go back to the property in order to change the light bulb. So by doing all of this in the setup phase, means that you're going to save time and energy further down the line.
Yeah, for sure. I adopted some of those processes as part of our sessions, and evolved it to the point where we take pictures of all the light bulbs for sure, and we've got a property setup checklist. So we also use Arthur, but we really record all of the setup details, like serial numbers, model numbers, you know, checking to make sure everything works as part of this checklist, which is quite comprehensive. So it's not just written info, it's backed up by photographs as well. And then what we do as part of that, once the testing has gone through, we will send that checklist together with, we've got a very basic sort of health and safety style assessment. We'll send those two bits and before and after pictures of the property from when we took it on straight after completion to once we've got it set up and running. We'll send that over to the landlord, and as part of our covering email, we'll identify the points obviously that need to be rectified now before we start getting people moved in. And at least then it's on record then, so that they know from day one that, you know, these are the bits that have been highlighted. And if there's an ongoing issue because they're not rectifying it, then at least you've got a point of reference to say, look, I did let you know either this needed to be taken care of, and as you were not as responsive as we might have liked, we took the responsibility of dealing it with ourselves. And hence, you know, we need to have a conversation about setting off against the rent or getting reimbursed for work, which you should have done in the first instance.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I think getting into that discipline of being able to have a process like that will, A, make sure that you don't miss anything. And from our check-in process, I think on the first property, we had something like 60 things that we identified that we needed to do. And it's only through trial and error and missing stuff off, like, for example, plugs not being in basins, and then what the customers do is they take toilet roll and they plug up that cold so that they can have a wash in the morning.
Yeah.
And then all the paper goes down the waste, and then suddenly you've got a blocked pipe. So simple little things like that is crucial. Of course, the other most important thing is when you take on a property, making sure that there's, in terms of your compliance checks, making sure there's a fire risk assessment.
Yeah.
Because God forbid that anything goes wrong, one of the first things that is going to be looked at is what was your fire risk assessment and what steps did you take to mitigate fire in the household.
Yeah.
And not anyone can do a fire risk assessment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's highly recommended that you get a professional in to do that. We work with a guy called Nick Green, who is a professional in this. We can put his contact details below. And you can contact Nick and he will help you out. He works across the UK. But the important thing is that because you've got someone competent, if something did go wrong, then the judge is not going to throw the book at you for not having a professionally prepared fire risk assessment. That's one thing that you won't get pulled up on.
Yeah.
And certainly with having an independent assessment before you get your customers in, someone like Nick, or Nick if you decide to use him, will spot out things that you have to change.
Mm.
And it's always better to get that done right at the get-go than having to do it halfway through.
Yeah.
So things like testing the fire alarms, if there is a fire alarm system installed, is really important.
Yeah.
Making sure that when you take on the property that you get all the keys. We've taken on properties before where keys are missing, and then suddenly we're in the realms of changing locks and all that kind of stuff, which is either your cost or the landlord's cost. But again, it's important to get all that up front, and not only one set of keys, but two sets of keys. Making sure that you, we put a key box outside the property so that if the customer loses their key or misplaces their key, at least they can get in the property.
Mm.
And our view is that if someone contacts us before 9 o'clock, then someone will come out and let them in. If it's after 9 o'clock, then there's a plastic box in the lounge with a sleeping bag and a pillow. It's a night on the sofa for them if they can't get into their room. And then someone will be over the next morning.
That's great.
And so it's just getting all those elements set up.
Yeah.
So that when you're ready to open your doors to your new customers, then it's a nice, smooth experience. Because in my experience, the customers will always remember the thing that goes wrong.
Mm.
And in our first property, and I don't know how we managed to do this, but we forgot to order the broadband.
Right.
So we have customers, and our target customers are young professionals, and they live and die on their
broadband speeds.
Yeah, totally. But we forgot. So the one thing that they focused on when we did our survey was the fact that we didn't have broadband for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything else was perfect. So that went onto the list. But not only did that go onto the list, we also use an app called Wi-Fi Sweet Spot. So we go around the property to identify how strong the signal is. And if we then need, if the signal's not that strong, then we know we need to go and buy boosters, and we get all the boosters configured and set up.
Nice.
And it's just all those little bits and pieces that will, when they all come together, equates to a positive experience for the customers to move into.
Yeah.
And then once, if you set off the relationship at the beginning with a positive experience, then that's likely to transition through to the rest of the tenancy.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great couple of little switches. Tips, Wi-Fi Sweet Spot, I didn't realize, is that an app or is it?
Yeah, it's an app. It's on Android and iPhone. We use iPhone. And what all you do is you you get the router turned on.
Yeah.
And you turn on the app. You also need to make sure that you're connected to the router. And then what it does is it measures the signal strength from your phone to the router. So if you've got a particularly long house, for example, or a house over 3 or 4 stories, then as soon as you start to walk around the house, you'll start to see where the signal starts to drop out.
Mm.
And then that's when you need to go and start to consider a booster. Or, as in some of the larger properties that we have, we put in a second router. So one at the front of the house serving that, and one at the back of the house serving that. The routers that we buy are always Netgear. We found that they've been the best. And the Netgear, I don't know if they make it anymore, but the Netgear Nighthawk seem to have what's called the strongest Wi-Fi bubble. So that's the amount of area that that particular router will serve. It's just a really strong, powerful router.
Yeah.
And particularly where if you're serving young professionals who might be looking at downloading movies, or gaming, Netflix, or whatever it might be. And if you've got seven or eight people in the house, as we have in some of ours, then you're going to need to have good, strong services in order to satisfy that demand.
Yeah.
If you don't, you can bet your bottom dollar that within a week or so, you'll be getting, well, what's happening with the Wi-Fi? I can't log on, or it drops out, or it freezes. Or so it's important that you understand all of these elements well ahead of time.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to, I guess, you know, you mentioned the sort of lead-in time. It's all well and good having your checklist, 108 points, but it's about executing those steps in time, either just before your, you know, customers, your housemates move in, or to like at least shorten the time after they've moved in for that sort of thing to be executed. Right?
Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, in an ideal world, you'd have everything set up and ready to go before they move in.
Yeah.
Things like, we call them letting packs. So this is all the documentation that the customers will sign when they move in. So we have a sort of 7 or 8 step check-in process.
Mm.
So we need to make sure all of that documentation is ready to go with the property address on, the customer's name on. And once you've got that set up and you start to add properties, it's really quick to amend the documents. It's not rocket science. And if you have this prescribed process and steps that you go through, then you're minimizing any issues for your customers at a later stage.
And I think also, you know, giving you the best opportunity to fill your rooms as quickly as possible, right? I know in a previous episode, Jamie mentioned that the first property took you guys 6 or 7 weeks to get ready. And, you know, I had a similar experience. And, you know, the second property was reduced drastically. I think it took us a week to get set up. And the only thing that was outstanding, which I haven't quite mastered just yet, is getting the broadband set up so that it's ready to go just before the housemates move in. Because we generally have a sort of 2-week-ish lead-in time.
Yeah.
And because we don't commit to our service provider until we've got a deal over the line and it's completed and the paperwork's been signed, like that inevitably now leaves us with probably sort of 5 or 7 days where, you know, housemates start checking in and there won't be any broadband.
Yeah.
You know, as part of that process to sort of manage it, we will say, look, you know, just to make you aware, obviously on the viewing, that broadband is should be set up a week or so after you've moved in. You know, if that's going to be a massive issue, then one thing that's worked for us in the past is to offer a contribution towards data.
Yeah.
You know, if they have to buy a data bundle or whatever the case may be. But I think that sort of working out your timelines and making sure that, you know, you complete as many of the steps as possible before, you know, you've got your first check-in is massively important. Because once you've got people in, it's hard to reorganize.
It is. And talking about broadband, on one of the properties that we took over, which was given to us vacant, we had untold amount of trouble trying to set up broadband out. And the reason we had a problem was because the previous occupant hadn't cancelled their contract.
Oh, wow.
So you can't have two contracts on one property. Yeah. So for the Virgin to track them down and to get them to cancel, because they're still paying, but the Virgin had cut off the service because obviously they'd received the termination notice. They hadn't actually got the paperwork back from the previous owner or previous operator, which meant that we were out of broadband for like 10 days, I think it was. And the amount of complaints that we got from our customers And when we just explained the scenario, it didn't really matter because they're paying for a service at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So had we probably been a bit more switched on and had we started that process a little bit earlier, which is the reason why that's now one of the first things that we figure out. We have an account manager. So if we have any problems, we just contact him and let him sort that out now. But it can be a real struggle. And when you're getting customers in, because you don't have a precise date as to when they're going to move in, that sometimes is a bit of a balancing trick. But at the end of the day, it's all about providing the service.
And
as long as you're open and communicating with customers, then most of them are forgiving.
They're understanding, which is good. I think just before we wrap up, I know we've touched on it a couple of times. I think the compliance aspect in terms of the setup is massively important. You know, you're running or you're going to be running a HMO. So you mentioned obviously the fire risk assessment, you know, making sure your gas safety certificate is up to date and is on point, and making sure your electrical certification is there. And also, you know, stuff like if there's boiler service history or, you know, there's a fire alarm panel which needs to be installed or has been installed, that needs to be tested annually, I think. You know, making sure that all of your smoke alarms have been tested and you've got certificates for their installation as well.
Yeah.
That goes back to, you know, part of your offer process. You know, what we have in our offer template is we stipulate all of the compliance requirements that we expect to see on completion.
Mm.
And then we, you know, as part of the onboarding process, we then have, you know, reminders to, if we haven't received all of those from the landlord or the agent, to chase, because, you know, there's as much responsibility on us as the renter and operator or the management company to make sure that all of the documentation is up to date.
Mm.
Because if for whatever reason, you know, the council do come around, they need to expect, you need to have paper trail, you need to have all of the compliance documents to hand. So I think that for me, I'm always super mindful of making sure that we have all those documents sorted out.
Yeah. And people listening or watching even might think this is complicated, but it's not. As long as you know what you need to ask for, and as long as you've got a copy of the paperwork, then it's no more difficult than that. We manage our own households in terms of paperwork and bills and all that type of stuff. It's no different. You just need to know what you're asking for and making sure that the property owner has that. If they don't have it, then you organise it, and that becomes part of your negotiation as to who's going to pay for that. So it's not that complicated.
No, it's not. I think obviously the 108-point checklist that we'll provide in the show description is going to be useful covering those bits off. We'll also stick in there. We've got, I think it's a 20 or 25-point checklist specifically on documentation. So all the stuff, you know, that you want to have in your folder for a property, which will no doubt reinforce what's on the 108-point bit, but it's something that you'll be able to send out to the agent and say, look, we expect to see all of these bits. And if there is a reason why they aren't in place, then they need to get organized. Mm. Or, you know, you give us written confirmation that actually, you know, you can get them organized yourself.
Yeah. And if there's any questions, then also you can connect with us via the HMO Experience Facebook page and ask us all sorts of questions, and we can come back and give you some pointers as well.
Awesome. Perfect. So look, Steve, I think we did pretty well without Jamie in this episode.
We did, although we do welcome him back on the next one.
Yeah, for sure. The next episode is undecided as yet. We're going to leave you guys in suspense as to what we're going to be talking about, but it will certainly be a continuation of the onboarding thing. Just thought about it. It's going to be furnishing, because we've talked about setting up to shell and core.
Yeah.
So there's going to be furnishing and choosing your color palettes and choosing the furniture and getting everything ready for housemates to move in.
Yeah.
So that's something that we will cover off in episode 12. So for now, thank you very much for listening. Appreciate you tuning in and subscribing to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the HMO Experience YouTube channel as well. And if you want to continue the conversation, as Steve said, You can join us on our Facebook page, The HMO Experience. Leave us comments, questions, suggestions. You know, if there's anything specific you want answered, we can either come back to you directly or include them in our hashtag HMO Hacks, which you'll be able to find on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll leave all of our social handles in the show description, so you can pick up those juicy little nuggets. Next Monday, like I said, we're going to be covering off furnishing your HMO property. So if you're interested in that, make sure you tune in. For now, Steve and I are going to say goodbye. So Steve, I'll leave you to say adios.
Adios. Or auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Von mich also. Until next time, see you later.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.